Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, when Bloody Sunday was seen as a crime here, and in many ways and in certain quarters in the UK, it was seen more from a public relations side. Keen to shift the narrative in their favour, the British Army hired a war artist. But what role did he play in British propaganda against the backdrop of the Troubles? Joining me now is Dr. Clare Carlin, lecturer in art and public engagement at King's College London and the author of The Deployment of Art. Clare, how are you today?
Yeah, very good. Thank you. Thank you.
It's a big shift for us. You can imagine how we viewed those events on the 30th of January 1972 in Derry, 14 innocent people shot. The idea that it could be seen as a PR disaster is a lot for us to take in.
Yeah. Well, that is very much how the British establishment viewed it. And my book, The Deployment of Art, is an attempt to deconstruct the narrative that the British tried to put around what they saw as a disaster so they could shift the narrative and control it.
So they saw that a lot of the problem was, from their point of view, from a PR perspective, was that photography was suddenly everywhere, wasn't it?
Yeah, no, that's absolutely true. So one of the ways that they decided to address this, and that I argue about in the book, is by devising a committee who could appoint an artist or a series of artists who would go to the north and make pictures rather than take photographs of the British Army operation there. And the reason they chose to send an artist and not a photographer was it was all about control. So from 1969, the point when the British Armed Forces were deployed to the north, they saw themselves as conducting a counterinsurgency and peacekeeping operation in the north, and propaganda was a really big part of this. It was theorized by someone called Frank Kitson in a book called Low Intensity Operations, which was published in the early 1970s and which was very much used as their handbook for this operation. Kitson had trained in the colonies, particularly in Kenya, and a lot of the tactics which were deployed in the north, such as internment, but also the use of propaganda, came from the Kitsonian playbook. So this is where artists came into the picture. Like as I said, it was about control. So they wanted to control the population. And they also wanted to control the narrative. And in the 1970s, analog photography was, you know, unlike today's digital photography and Photoshop, and, you know, where you can create an image through a series of prompts. Sure. Analog photography was uncontrollable, if you like.
Right.
And that was how, you know, the British had lost control of the narrative of peacekeeping and fair play on Bloody Sunday, because there were international photojournalists and camera crews present who had captured images which appeared to show incontrovertibly that those people had been murdered. And those photojournalists later gave evidence at the Widgery Tribunal to support that narrative. Yeah, so this is all is all familiar stuff for your listeners. An artist who drew and painted in a traditional figurative way, like Ken Howard, who was the artist who they deployed to the north, was useful because he was controllable. And artists were run in Northern Ireland out of the Psychological Operations Department, which was based at British Army headquarters in Lisburn. And so in order for an artist to make any work there, they had to be accredited through the PSYOPS department. But they also had to have their work vetted. And this was a standard procedure which had been established in the First World War, when you have people like William Orpen, who maybe your listeners know, going to the front. His work had to be run past the censor. So this was another kind of censorship.
Right. He was very controlled, wasn't he? Ken Howard was the man's name. He was never really let off the leash at all, was he?
Well, he claims that he was allowed to do whatever he wanted to do. So there's in his first contract letter from 1973, He's asked to make, and this is a quote from the letter, an artistic record of the key kind of words here, an artistic record of British Army operation in Northern Ireland in drawing, painting and watercolour. And he says that he interpreted this as a request to show the background of the conflict and to capture the atmosphere. And he says that he was free to choose his subjects. Now that, you know, whether or not that's true is unclear. There was certainly a debate between Frank King, who was the general officer in command of the North at the point when Howard was there, about this commission. So, it, you know, the commissioning of this artist went right to the top of the British Army command in the North. And King responds to a letter from the committee at the Imperial War Museum who had commissioned Howard. One of the committee members, a retired colonel called Jones, had suggested that the interior of Longcash would be an impressive subject. I think he uses the word impressive, an impressive subject for Howard to tackle with one of his drawings. And King puts he rules that out. He says, I don't think that would be suitable. He corrects the terminology. He says it's now known as the Mays Prison. Yeah. But I'm sure that Howard will find lots of other suitable themes and topics. So when Howard does go there, he does actually do a painting of Longcash, but he shows it from outside. From all you see is the perimeter fence and the watchtower and the soldiers patrolling and the helicopter above. You just see the means of confinement. You have no idea. Yeah. From this picture, what's going on inside?
You get that from the few that I've seen. There's one Rosemount, which is kind of a barricade, you know, the British Army post. You can't say romanticized, but it looks like a parallel universe, I think is what strikes me. It looks more like Berlin 1944 or something, or 45. It doesn't say Northern Ireland during the 70s to me.
That it's interesting that you should say that, because I actually showed this picture to somebody who grew up very close to that location and who instantaneously recognized it. And my experience of showing a lot of Howard's works to people who knew the locations that he drew at the time is that they are instantly recognizable, and also that they contain a level of detail which enables people to, for instance, point out, you know, the exact house that their aunt lived in. Or so he was a very skilled topographer. A portraitist of place. I think the atmospherics of the drawings and paintings are, I think Rosemount is an interesting case in point, and I have to say that's one of, I think, his most artistically successful works from the time. It is very atmospheric.
Have to ask you, we're just running a little bit out of time, but do you think he made an impression? Do you think he managed to change the argument or the perspective a little bit?
I think he definitely did. I mean, his works were never shown at the Imperial War Museum because the IWM were worried about attacks. They were worried about being a target, but they were shown at the MOD. So there was an exhibition of his work at that's the Ministry of Defence headquarters in Whitehall in London. They were reproduced. There was a big article about him in 1978 in the Observer colour supplement with, you know, it was the cover story. And he also made numerous television appearances, including in the North. He was often featured on a show called Scene Around Six. So he was a regular participant in that show, but he also appeared on Newsnight and Nationwide in the UK. Okay. So very people good. Saw his work. Okay. Yeah.
Claire, thank you very much for that. It's fascinating. Completely different perspective. Thank you very much to Dr. Claire Carlin, a lecturer in art and public engagement at King's College and the author of The Deployment of Art.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.